Hello, everyone, and welcome to Longbox Heroes After Dark, episode 72. Very special episode of Longbox Heroes After Dark. In your feed earlier than the actual show.
That's like magic.
It is like magic. Or asking Brian, can you do this?
Ah, both work. Both are magic.
And him actually responding to an email.
Hmm, is that what those were?
Yes, I would have felt better if the if the ka-ching email was there, but it's pending right now,
what?
If that makes any sense.
I know what the ka-ching email is, and pending I don't like. I just want it to, I want it to be pended.
You want it to be pen? Well, it's pending, you want it to be pended.
Yes. Past
it'll probably pen. It'll be pended tomorrow, I'm sure.
Oh, so probably as this
and
goes,
the ka-ching tweet will be going out.
That's right. I'll program it like the way you program the all the the magic tweets that come from our Longbox Heroes account.
I schedule them. Now, the reason this is coming out early is if you've listened to either one of the shows, more so Longbox Heroes After Dark, you know we typically record After Dark before the actual show. The actual show comes out on Wednesday. After Dark would usually come out on Friday. However, something big happened this past week, and people have been clamoring for Todd and I's opinion on, I'm saying this under duress, Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
That's right. Full name or I'm walking.
Right. However, before we get into that, Todd had a plethora of cryptic tweets that I had to ask him about. The one I forgot to mention before we started recording is, can you name names on the grocery store that wronged you yesterday?
Yes, it was the Giant Market in my neighborhood, behind the Dunkin' Donuts, conveniently located. but yes, I went, I did my whole grocery list in my head, all healthy foods, as you know.
Right.
And I got done. And I put like all. I started putting stuff up on the little what the heck is it, the belt line there,
the conveyor gimmick,
the
sure.
conveyor gimmick. And I'm like, yeah, blah blah blah. I'm like, let me grab this, let me grab a healthy chocolate bar, and we'll get going. She's like, oh, do you have a credit card or cash? And I'm like, no, all I have is my debit card. She's like, oh, our debit card system is down. And I'm like, well, I don't have my credit card with me. And I have $4 in cash on me, and I did my order today, and it was like 60 some dollars. So I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. And she's like, she doesn't care. She's a teenager chewing gum, twirling her hair. You know what I mean?
Right.
So she's like, well, you know, I guess somebody will have to put it back. She wants nothing to do with me. So the person behind me, she's like the same thing. They're like, I don't know. So I go walking to them, and look, guy looks like a manager because he had a different colored shirt on. I'm like, what do I do with this? You know, like, are you guys going to put it away? Because I'm not putting it away. And he's like, what? You don't have a credit card or any cash on you? And I'm like, I don't care what you do. This is mostly frozen foods. I really don't give a fuck what you do with it. You know? So, by the way, this is a blue episode of After Dark.
Right, After Dark has the explicit tag.
Yes, so sorry about that. Maybe I'll stop that now. But
nope.
So I was like, and he's like rubbing his eye, giving me the look, like, you want me to put this away? And I'm like, I don't care if you get, you know, some schlub, like, in the back of my head. So I just walked away. I'm like, here you go. I'm like, this isn't my fault, you know? Like, have a guy at the door saying the debit doesn't work before I get my whole order. You know what I mean? So, I was not happy.
And I do like he expected you to put everything back. Mm. It's their job to restock the shelves.
Right. So.
Oh, that's a bunch of malarkey. And then you had also tweeted something about AC/DC's replacement singer for the tour.
Yes, there's a rumor. There was a rumor that it was going to be... Are you sitting down, Leonard?
Right, I purposely went out of my way not to look up stuff to know what Todd was talking about, to wait for this.
Right, the rumored singer to replace Brian Johnson was Axl Rose.
Ugh.
right? So, now, novelty...
He's so stable and reliable. Let's get him.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, is the guy, and my one friend even says, Scott even said this. He's like, the guy who hasn't started a show on time in his entire career is going to go with, like, one of, like, the most formulaic bands in the history of rock and roll. And that's going to happen. Because, you know, it's just not. But then Guns N' Roses announced, like, a 21-city tour this year. So I don't see him going on tour with... I don't see him going on tour and starting late for AC/DC. I see him going on tour and starting late for Guns N' Roses.
Was Cat Williams busy that they went to Axl Rose?
I don't know.
Was that the...
Gary Cherone must have a full plate.
I guess.
He would have been the third singer for Van Halen and AC/DC. Would have been fantastic.
And first or second singer for Extreme?
Oh, I don't even know. I don't have my Extreme. With the fan club, they gave me the card with all the members. I don't have it on.
Sure. Yet. So let's get into business. Let's get down to business, what everyone came here for. Mm-hmm. And that's Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to go see it Thursday night with a group of people. Is that correct?
That's right. 7 o'clock on the dot. DJ, Dave, Tom, Matt. They're Tom's wife, Katie, and Scott, and Matt's girlfriend, Eleanor. I'm naming names, all the names.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, the one thing April and I went Saturday night, we went to go see it at the local, I don't want to say dirt theater, but, you know, it's not the high-end fancy theater like you went to.
Mm-hmm.
So we went Saturday night. The one thing that I like about this theater that we go to, not only do the films start promptly at their start time, always three trailers, no more, no less.
Now,
so there's not like 40 trailers that like sap your soul before the movie even begins.
Now, when you say the movie starts promptly, does it still at like do the three trailers start at the prompt time or do they?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was wondering if they did something where it's like, yeah, well, we'll run our three trailers, but at 3 minutes apiece, we'll start them 9 minutes before the start time. Do you know what I mean?
I would prefer if they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But like 8 o'clock, those trailers start rolling.
Got you. Though I don't know of a lot of theaters that don't run their trailers promptly at the start time of the movie.
Nah, I don't know. The one theater up by the Super Secret Science job is a little questionable.
I don't know. I think somebody's got some OCD issues. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes. Now, the one thing that I do want to say is we did get the trailers for Civil War, Ninja Turtles 2, and the new Days of Future Past trailer.
Mm-hmm.
This would have been a prime opportunity to have Suicide Squad be like the like must-have trailer with this movie, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you because we went to the one by the Super Secret Science job and we got a ton of trailers. No Suicide Squad trailer, even with a ton of trailers.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everyone listening to this knows what the plot of Batman vs. Superman, Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice is.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really need to go into that.
Right.
Do you want to talk about the experience? Do you want to talk about if you liked it or didn't like it? Do you just want to get into it? What do you want to do with this?
I want to break it up into maybe like 3 or 4 parts.
Okay, because I got notes and stuff, too.
Okay, I want to break it up into the first 2/3 of the movie.
Okay.
And then the last third, that's 2 different things. I'm trying to think of what the other... I should have wrote down my notes. The other one is Eisenberg on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember what the fourth one was, because my mind is all over the place. But basically, that's like chop it up into certain things.
All right, so I'll follow your lead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, you begin. So.
I disliked the first 2/3 or maybe 4/5 of the movie, however, because it's a long movie. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very disjointed.
Okay.
All over the place. Basically, the best way to describe it is I felt it were scenes to to just have very quick and then move on to the next thing to establish stuff. Like, here it is 18 months after Man of Steel, and I don't want to, you know, get too much into, but it's like, oh, by the way, we just have Clark Kent walk in on Lois in the bathtub to establish that they're together. And then it's really almost never mentioned again. Like, because they both go do their own things. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do.
Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of that. It's, here it is, a scene, and we cut to the next. It's like, literally the first chunk of the movie is cut up into 3 to 4 minute scenes.
Right. Disjointed is the first thing that comes into my mind for it as well. Mm-hmm. But it's, I think a more fair assessment of it would be is, it's seemingly unrelated scenes.
Mm-hmm. Poorly edited.
Poorly edited, seemingly unrelated scenes mm-hmm. that have no real transition from one to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, we could talk about some of those specific scenes in general. You know, whether you want to talk about the stuff in the desert, the subplot with the bullet. You know, you want to talk about Batman as a whole, Superman as a whole.
Right.
Batman's dream visions.
Which I have a whole theory about.
Okay.
Let's start with the dream visions.
Okay.
Because there are many, and I think most of them are visions, and one of them is true. If that makes any sense.
Yes.
I think everything is a vision given to Bruce Wayne by Darkseid.
Okay.
Because there's all that, like, there's parademons in it, and then at one point there was an Omega symbol.
Yep.
And later on in the movie, like, when they were having this, which is going to lead into where I'm going, is when they were having the Senate hearings, and they were burning the Superman dolls, like, on the in effigy.
Yes.
That's taken right from Legends, the miniseries. Remember the John Byrne miniseries?
Yes.
Taken right from that, which was the whole thing was Glorious Godfrey, obviously it probably wouldn't be him, was Darkseid feeding, you know, America these things so that the heroes would be looked down upon and be, like, you know, turned against. And I feel that's what all this was, and it's never explained in the movie. But that's what it is. And as, like, a comic book fan, that's what I see. But I'm like, as a regular fan, you're just like, man, Batman's crazy just having these visions.
Right. And for me, whether they are dreams that are unrelated, whether they are going to later be explained as things that were implanted in him by Darkseid or even someone else.
Mm-hmm.
The crux of this movie, the through line of this film is Batman wants to bring Superman down because he had dreams about him.
Okay, and I don't want to defend to defend, but that's not really what it's about either. It's okay, about
but
a lot of his employees being killed in a building, too. Like,
okay, a lot of his employees being killed in a building that, again,
it's not just the visions, though. Like, let's okay. not
it's
say...
Not just the it's not just the visions, mm-hmm. but, again, to say that it is directly Superman's fault is something that even Bruce Wayne should know better.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But old and bitter Bruce Wayne?
Listen. But is he old and bitter?
Yeah.
Because, see, for me, Ben Affleck, who I thought did a very good job in his role...
I did, too.
Is, for me, in the same boat as your Tom Cruise's and Will Smith's, for better or for worse.
Okay.
It's very difficult for me to lose myself in their character. Like, whenever I see Tom Cruise in a movie, I don't think that it's like, oh, it's XYZ person that he's playing, or Will Smith is like, oh, I believe that this is someone. I'm like, that's Will Smith, that's Tom Cruise. Being that Ben Affleck is someone that I've seen grow from his role as the date rapist in Mallrats, seeing more or less every single movie that he has been in over the last 21 years,
mm-hmm.
I have a familiarity with Ben Affleck.
Oh.
That I see him always as Ben Affleck, not as Bruce Wayne or whatever character he's supposed to be playing. He still did a very good job because he's a very good actor, but every time I saw him, it was Ben Affleck. It wasn't Bruce Wayne. It wasn't Batman. It was Ben Affleck.
Gotcha.
But again, Ben Affleck isn't that old and grizzled to begin with, and just because you put a little salt and pepper in his hair does not make him grizzled, especially when he's getting all his advice from Scar from The Lion King. That a little bit took me out of the movie, having just seen The Lion King a few weeks ago.
Still haven't seen it. But the way the way you know he's old is he calls Superman son.
Right.
Mm.
So I get what you're saying, but like I could punch a lot of holes in, well, the people should have known to get out of the building when all that shit was going down, and no one left the building until Bruce called, maybe too late, that like they were waiting for his word. Like Bruce was driving like a madman through the streets of Metropolis while shit is going down, and all of those people were calmly in their building, not moving.
When he could have just...
Because they were waiting for the word from Bruce Wayne to leave.
Why didn't he just call?
Why did he not call when the shit started going down, not as buildings are falling around them?
And I also remember what I wanted to...
Why did the people wait for the call if I'm in my building and the other buildings are going down around me? I'm not waiting for my immediate supervisor to give me the okay to leave. I'm leaving.
Well, here's the thing. Let's not get crazy because...
I am crazy.
Because we could... Because this whole movie is like, you know, like we can get into the whole 9/11 thing. You know what I mean? Like there were...
But we're not.
Which we're not. But there were still people in the second tower. Do you know what I mean? Like...
Yes.
Like, you should have got on. So people are going to play that card. I'm just going to say whatever on that. But, yeah, like, that to me is, like, his visions are just crazy. And I remembered the fourth thing I wanted to cut the movie up into. Wonder Woman and the other superhero cameos.
Okay.
So Batman, we'll do Batman a little bit. Batman was also a crazy murdering, like, the way Superman snapped one neck in at Man of Steel. Batman just very liberal with the guns, isn't he? With the firearms?
Not only using guns, but murdering people willy-nilly.
Right.
I wasn't trying to do, like, an official head count, but it was in the dozens upon dozens. And he laments that Superman killed hundreds of thousands of people due to his actions. Who's to say he couldn't have killed billions? You've got yourself your own pretty big body count there yourself, Bruce.
But they're all guilty.
Okay, they're guilty. The thing where he is branding the people as he's sending them off to jail.
That's crazy.
Which essentially, like, they say anyone who goes to prison with that brand on it, it's essentially a death sentence. So he's essentially, by proxy, killing those people as well with zero remorse. And I'm with you that this universe is different than the Batman universe that I'm used to. I don't think I will ever be used to Batman killing people.
I'm with you. And I wanted to send you the article of Zack Snyder defending it. Did you see?
Is it about the scene from Dark Knight Returns?
No.
Because I got the one about that.
I was going to send you the one where he goes, well, a lot of these kills aren't murder. They're more manslaughter. Because he shoots a car and then the car blows up. So he's not exactly, and I'm like, Snyder, pump the brakes, son. Like, now you're either defending what you did or what, but like, don't get like this super grim and gritty universe and then try to backpedal away from it, because you went into this knowing full well what you had on your plate.
Now, he also, it might not have been the same interview, but it was a similar interview, where he cites, in Dark Knight Returns, where Batman grabs a gun off one of the punks and fires it at the wall. And cites that, specifically saying, hey, listen, man, everybody wants me to be more like the comic books. It happens in Dark Knight Returns, the book everyone loves, so cut me some slack. Here's the problem with that. He's focusing on one panel of a page. Now, typically, Todd, when I read a comic book, I start in the upper left-hand corner and I read the panels in the structure, unless it's a book like Sandman Overture, which has a different panel and page structure. But if I read all of the panels on the page in the order, there's a panel after Batman shoots the gun where he breaks the gun over his knee and says, we don't use these. These are the weapons of cowards. I will train you. But he doesn't focus on that one and says, we don't use these. He focuses on the panel that suits his narrative of why Batman uses a gun.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So, you want to talk about Superman?
Yes. And do you want to go first, or shall I?
Yes. So, first of all, this movie, and we'll get to our overall views of the movie, I think, at the end, but I like this better than Man of Steel, which is not, you know, which is not high praise. Mm-hmm. However, Superman in this universe stinks.
Oh.
He's a horrible person.
The dirt worst.
He's miserable all the time. They claim at the Daily Planet that every time he saves a cat from a tree or, like, helps a kid across the street, it makes front page news.
A puff piece.
But we never see him doing those mm-hmm. things. All we do is see him frowning, helping people, and being miserable.
And saying, there is no good in this world. That's my favorite line in the whole movie.
The closest he comes to doing something Superman-like, and this kind of gets toward the end, the fight scene, which is that last one-fifth of the movie, mm-hmm. where he almost kinda sorta doesn't want to fight Batman, mm-hmm. where he shows up at the bat signal and is like trying to like say, hey, listen, I don't want to fight you, but he literally gives that up in 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. However, the biggest problem that I have with Superman is Lois scratches her nail, drops her purse, and he comes running. Now I'm exaggerating a little bit, but she gets dropped off a building, and he comes running. She's halfway across the world being held at gunpoint by a guy. He comes running. His mother. Smallville is just as close as wherever he is, mm-hmm. is being trailed in an alleyway and picked up by hired goons, and he does nothing about it.
That's right, because he heard Lois in the desert across the...
That's your mom, man.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Especially since your mom, these guys' moms play such a big deal in the end of this movie. That's your mom, man.
And here's the thing. Not only that, he lets them blow up the Senate or Congress or whatever.
Okay.
Like, and I'm like, oh, I didn't see it. And I want to get into that scene a little bit, that there is a Lex Luthor out there who pissed in a jar and left it on a senator's desk.
Right. And again, just want to say another, I think this is going to be a Zack Snyder trope, a scene where a woman uncomfortably talks about pissing in a film, because Lois did it in Man of Steel, and then, what's her face, Mrs. Incredible from The Incredibles does it in this.
Ah, gotcha. Holly Hunter,
and we'll get back to Lois here in a moment, but we'll get to the explosion of the Senate, but there's two instances, the one where Superman goes over into the desert to save Lois, and a bunch of dudes kill other dudes with guns, mm-hmm. and then he shows up in the Senate, and the guy's wheelchair blows up and kills a ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, we could debate, and we will, about whether or not Superman could or should or would have did something about the guy with the wheelchair. But Lex Luthor's grand plan is to have people make special bullets that can only be traced back to him, murdering people halfway across the world in the hopes that Superman might show up to discredit him. Even further still, less of a crazy plan, the bomb in the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, bomb in the wheelchair, special bullets made just by him halfway across the world in the hopes that Superman might show up, that's how I'm going to discredit Superman. Those are my A and B plans.
Hey, they're pretty good. I just wanted to see...
Not a land scheme that he could do in this one.
I wanted to see Superman at one point tell Lois... Like, a la Adam West, some days you just can't find a bomb in a wheelchair.
Oh, boy.
That would have been... I would have, like, applauded right on the... Or just see him running around the Senate with the wheelchair over his head.
Now, see, though, that's the thing is, though, Todd, that's something that would be called a joke.
Mm-hmm.
There were four of them in this movie,
and
because this movie is so dank and dark and out of place, mm-hmm. they went over like lead balloons.
Yep. And in this dark movie, too, like, the funny scene, like, which is fun, they're lovers, is Clark getting in the tub with Lois and everything. I'm like, this is great, but it doesn't fit in this movie. And we're only 10 minutes in. You know? Like... Oh, and okay, while this is all that, and Superman's, you know, there's no good in the world, but he has one true blue villain that he'll always fight, and that's Lex Luthor. And every time Jesse Eisenberg came on the screen, I physically cringed. I was like, I can't watch. This is terrible. This is terrible. This might be worse than any portrayal of Doctor Doom. Like, any. I'm watching this going, who decided on this? This is that the, oh, apparently it's a Max Landis impersonation. Okay. Is what I'm hearing. Did you know that?
Okay. I will say this. Mm-hmm. This is maybe where you and I disagree slightly. Mm-hmm. I thought Jesse Eisenberg was a great villain in this movie.
Oh.
He was a lunatic. He was a crazy person. He had these outlandish schemes and was willing to risk all of this, like, risk so much for so little. However, he was not Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
He was some other thing. Like, April nudges me during the movie, and she's like, what is this shit?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, Lex Luthor is supposed to be calm and cool and classy and in control, not this hipster doofus jerk-off. And the whole time, I'm like, he's just doing a Max Landis impersonation. And Max Landis is the 21st century's greatest villain. So this makes perfect sense. He's doing a fantastic job of being a hateable person, but he's not being Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm. No, he's not. I actually wanted to see the father he described in three or four scenes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I want. I just could not handle it after a while. I was like, this is ridiculous. Just, oh my God. But trying to think where to go next. This, like I said, okay, we're all over the place, but so is the movie. So
right. So I want to mention Lois.
Mm-hmm.
As bad as a character as Superman is in the movie, Lois either does nothing or does things that make no sense. Mm-hmm. This is my prime example. As I'm watching the movie, and this is during the fight toward the end, and we'll get into the fight. So Batman has his funky spear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after they decide to be friends, Lois, for no reason, gets the spear and throws it in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and saying this is the thing that was going to hurt the one that she loves. And granted, listen, you love Superman Clark so much, kayfabe, stop calling him Clark while he's in the costume in public all the goddamn time.
Well, it kind of seems like everybody knows. I'm pretty sure Perry White knows.
Okay, but
I'm with you. I'm just
kayfabe.
Mm-hmm, kayfabe.
You know, some guy's name is Joe, but on the podcast for now we say Leonard.
That's right.
Right. So she throws the thing in the water, right? And I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, this is the thing that was going to hurt Superman. I want to get rid of it. Miles away, as they're fighting Doomsday, Batman says to no one, the spear is kryptonite. Maybe that will work. Lois.
That's not who he's.
Nowhere.
Nope. That's not. He doesn't say it to nobody.
Okay.
He says it to Alfred.
Okay, so he says it to Alfred. Because at no time do we see this information relayed to Lois.
Mm-hmm.
Lois just figures, hey, maybe I need to go get this spear that I threw down here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Why did all this happen? Because I'm sure when they were writing the script, they needed a point in the movie where they got Superman, Lois, and the spear in the same scene together. And this was their horrible, ham-fisted way to have that happen.
Fair enough.
Because there's no reason Lois to throw the thing down the water in the first place. There's no reason for her to go back down and get it, since she's never tipped off by anyone that they need it. There's no reason for Superman to go back and get the spear unless Lois is in trouble. How do we do it? I don't know. Just make it happen.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know about all that. I don't know why if... But didn't Superman went back because he heard Lois drowning?
Right, but why was Lois drowning?
Because she was getting the spear.
And why was she going in the water to get the spear?
Because she threw it in there.
Well, why did she throw it in there in the first place and then go and get it seconds later?
I'm with you. I'm only playing.
Okay.
But
you get
right. Other than
it was very
other than I will defend throwing the spear away. Kind of like I'm going to throw this into the water. Like, for right now, like, you can't leave this laying around. I will buy that. Everything after is a house of cards.
Right.
But go on.
Oh, so Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, before we get to that, the Doomsday. Like, how does Lex know to just make a Doomsday? And why does he put his own blood in?
I will give that one the benefit of the doubt that he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that when he goes into the ship and he, you know, the scene where he peeled his fingerprints off to make own fingerprints for himself to get in.
Right, which he didn't need to put them on his actual fingers.
Right. But again, he's crazy. Right. So as he gets this information, he brings the body in because it tells him about a regeneration matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So he figures maybe I can bring this thing back to life. Maybe he figures his own blood will give it part of himself or control over it or something like that. But again, he's crazy. I don't think he knew what it was going to be. And I think he calls it Doomsday because we all know that Superman fights Doomsday.
Yeah, well, I've seen dumber names given on The Flash, so in different ways. But I think, once again, somebody was saying, and I kind of agree with him on that, is I think somebody was giving him visions too.
Okay.
So, but this is all stuff that we're going to find out in movie 4 when we should find out in movie 1. But
right. And I think this is, as a side note, this is one of those things when they showed Doomsday in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And like Warner's and DC and Zack Snyder and everyone came out and said, oh, no, no, there's another villain after Doomsday in this movie.
No, there's not.
But that's what they all said. Mm-hmm. Because everyone's like, oh, man, you spoiled the end villain. You know, because obviously we knew Lex is the villain, but now you gave away a secret villain. They all came out and said, no, 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 there's another villain in the movie. And I'm sure that's what they're going to say 4 movies from now when Darkseid was the one manipulating everyone. They're like, oh, no, no, Darkseid was always behind the scenes in the first movie. That was the real villain of the first movie, mm-hmm. which is a bunch of malarkey horseshit backpedaling, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. Doomsday looked all right. He looked like something out of Lord of the Rings. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. But Wonder Woman.
I liked Wonder Woman.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
I agree. I had a friend of mine saying that he couldn't get over her small teeth.
Okay. I said,
you're too good looking to be looking at people's teeth.
Okay.
I said, calm down.
The only, like, I love the Wonder Woman in the Wonder Woman costume,
mm-hmm.
but it was almost like I joked. I said it was like they wrote a part for Catwoman early in the movie, and then they were like, just make it Wonder Woman, tie it all together, because she's like this like thief trying to get a picture back.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not buying it. And she's like, Bruce is like, I've known a few women like you. Yeah, Catwoman. Like, you're just stealing Catwoman's shtick right here. I get it. But when they get to the Wonder Woman part, she's the most fun. I think she's the only person who smiled in the whole movie.
Okay, that's one of my favorite moments in the movies is when she's fighting Doomsday, mm-hmm. and Doomsday kind of, like, bangs her back or pushes her back or hits her back or whatever.
She drops the sword or something. I forget what it was.
She, like, goes into a defensive posture, mm-hmm. and gets a look on her face that is like, I'm having fun fighting this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's perfect. That sums up what Wonder Woman should be without saying a word, very subtly. And it was just a look that she gave,
mm-hmm.
that it's like, you know, like a worthy battle for
mm-hmm.
me. And I'm like, that's perfect. And that made me love the Wonder Woman character in this film.
Right. And she's like the whole, like, I want to see a 1914 Wonder Woman.
They're making it. That's what they're filming now, yeah.
Exactly. They show that picture, and I'm like, I'm all over this, and I want to see it, and this is fantastic. So she was one of my favorite parts. And then Bruce sends her the email of this, of apparently you could steal an electronic picture. So I'm not even going to get in on that. But so here's the files, and she clicks on the files, right? And we see a ship underwater, and that whole scene with Aquaman, and he comes out of the ship with the eyes underwater, and he stabs the submersible with this trident, and he swims away like a bullet. And I'm like, holy shit, Aquaman is awesome. Right? Then we cut to Cyborg. Leonard, Cyborg. One of the creepiest scenes I've ever seen in a comic book movie. You know, like how they wanted to do that body alterification in Fantastic Four? And they got it wrong. They got it right with Cyborg. And the mother box, and his father's trying to put him together, and he's screaming, and the father shuts off the camera, and I'm like, oh my God, Cyborg! I'm like, now I want a Cyborg movie. And I'm like, why in Batman v Superman, is it colon or semicolon?
It's colon.
Colon, Dawn of Justice. Are the three coolest characters Wonder Woman, Cyborg, and Aquaman? Why is that? And then the Flash happens, and my comic book fan brain just melts down. Just, did that happen? I don't mind the scene in the convenience store. That's fine. He's getting his you know, apple ale out of the thing, and knocks somebody over. But the scene where he comes back in time, and he's in that funky tech suit, I'm like,
oh. It looked very. Like Earth 2, like the new comic book Earth 2, looking like with the helmet and everything, it did look really cool.
Terrible. I think the word you're looking for is terrible.
Oh, I thought it looked cool.
No. That looked, I'm like, I don't even want to see the Flash movie. I'll be that fan, Leonard. I've seen 5 seconds and I'm like, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be terrible.
This is just from the side note of, you know, all the, you know, the publicity going up to it. And when asked why they did not cast Grant Gustin as the Flash in this movie, Zack Snyder said, in our DC cinematic universe, we don't need someone who smiles so much.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad. That's fantastic.
But and then what did I see? Interviews with whoever's making the Aquaman movie. He said that we're looking to make a fun Aquaman movie. And I don't know, man, that Jason Momoa looking Aquaman looks like a badass, not someone who's fun.
I don't know. I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to do it with, you know, he's going to have the dolphin parents. And sharks are going to be real stupid. It's going to be fantastic. And I know there's going to be some tentacle monster. There has to be a tentacle monster.
Right.
That's a rule in underwater movies.
So could we get to the fight, the end, the big thing that we came here, the Batman v. the Superman?
Yes. Colon, Dawn of Justice.
Right.
I'm just going to go first. This is the part of the movie that I actually liked because it was a fight. They fought. All right, there's the whole spear problem. But as it goes, it took us one whole movie of Man of Steel and 4/5 of Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice for Superman to do something that made me like him.
Okay.
And I did like the scene where he looks at Lois and he's like, I love you, but I have to do this. And she's like, no. And he goes, and he's like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just like, this has to be stopped. And I'm like, holy crap, Superman did something heroic other than pull a giant ship on a chain across ice. That's like it. These are like his two big moments. But it made me like Superman. I was like, we had to go this far to almost two movies to get the world to like him in the comic book movie world. You know what I mean? Like now when he comes back, I'm like, if Snyder still has people hate him, I'm like, you're done. Like, I don't know what you're trying to accomplish here. So, but your fight, your take on the fight.
Okay. So, while we are ragging on the movie, I had a fun time watching the movie. I did not hate it as much as I thought I was going to, or as much as the rest of the world thought I should have. It's not a good movie by any stretch of the imagination, but if you're an avid listener to either After Dark or the main show, you know that Todd and I unironically love a plethora of bad movies. And this is a bad movie that I enjoyed. I enjoyed the fight. Like, the ridiculousness of the bat armor that he's using, mm-hmm. where he like picks up, where Batman picks Superman up by a chain, like a literally like 100-foot chain, and just starts swinging him around, taking out support beams in a building to no effect. Like the building does not collapse around them as he's doing mm-hmm. this. Rips a sink off the wall and just batters Superman in the head with it, and then straps him down to a thing. He's gonna stab him in the chest because of course Batman is going to brutally murder someone in this movie. It'll only be the 100th person, like he's gonna get his punch card done for it. It was a ridiculous great fight. Except for one thing, Todd.
What's that?
I like Batman. I like Superman. They're both good guys. Some people would even say that they're baby faces, Todd. Mm-hmm. And granted, Batman, his gimmick is he uses everything around him. He's the master planner. He's the schemer. He's got the kryptonite dust. He's got everything ready to go. Sure, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that one scene where he hits Superman with the kryptonite dust and he's just punching him in the face. And the dust starts to wear off because now the punches are having no effect.
Right.
And for a brief moment, Todd, as the gas is wearing off, Batman does the classic wrestling heel beg off.
Oh my goodness.
Where he takes a step back and he has both of his hands up. And I'm just like, bullshit.
God.
That is not what a babyface does. That's what Ric Flair in 1989 does before he gives a guy a nut shot behind the referee's back. That's not what Batman does, man. He doesn't beg off from anyone. He moves on to the next effective plan.
Wow. I can't believe you went there.
Oh, he begged off. He's Batman. He doesn't beg off from anybody.
Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, on my own, like, that fight was fun. It was basically, if we're going to use wrestling now, it was a hardcore match.
That's right. No holds barred.
That's right.
Street fight, whatever they're calling Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania this weekend. That's what it was.
I'm surprised there wasn't a baseball bat with barbed wire on it.
Or a chainsaw. A kryptonite chainsaw.
Oh, that would have been fantastic. I liked, as much as I bagged on the movie,
right.
I liked the movie. Okay, this is the way, Ralph asked me how I liked the movie. And I looked at him and I said, okay, it made it over the bar. Of course, before going into this bar movie, I buried the bar 6 feet in the ground.
Right.
So it made it over. But that's no great, like, feat. But there were things about it that I did like. There was a lot more that I didn't, but because I liked the last fifth of the movie, I walked out. Like, if I had loved the first fifth of the movie and then had to watch 4/5 of garbage,
right,
it might have been different, but it was the other way around, so you leave with a better taste in your mouth.
Exactly.
And then, like, the whole, like, they leave it on the cliffhanger where the, and I did like the whole thing that Bruce buries him. They bury a fake body in Metropolis, and he's like, I did him wrong, I'm going to do this right. And I'm like, yeah, this is all the stuff that I like. This is all that I like. And then there's the whole, like, the dirt moves and his heart's beating or whatever. And I don't know what's going on there, and it's the end of the movie, and I'm like, you know what? I didn't hate that movie. I kind of liked it, but it was garbage at times. It's the most, like, indecisive I've ever been on a movie in my entire life.
Somebody showed me clips of the cast talking about this movie at San Diego last year. Specifically Affleck talking about how smart this movie is.
It's not smart.
Okay. Either this movie is so smart, we're all dumb, or Ben Affleck's really dumb. What do you think is the more likely course of action, Todd and everyone listening to this who saw the movie?
Did we do Geely? That's all I'm going to say.
Did we do Phantoms? Did we do Reindeer Games? Did we do Pearl Harbor? Todd, I could keep going. I'm an Affleck fan. I've seen all these films.
But then I have an answer to that, Leonard.
All right.
For what he got paid, would you have done Reindeer Games? Would you have done Pearl Harbor? Would you have done Phantoms? Would you have done Geely? I would have.
Listen, he's laughing on a pile of money, and we're sitting here doing this jerk-off podcast.
That's right. He's got the real three-fingered Liberace. Because did you know that's where the actual quote comes from? Laughing all the way to the bank comes from Liberace.
Oh, he's the one who said that?
Attributed to be the first one who said it. They're like, you know, you do all these stupid little shows with the candelabra and the sequin suits and all this craziness, and everybody's laughing at you, you know. And he's like, yeah, they're laughing at me, and I'm laughing all the way to the bank. And they're like, that's a good quote. So.
That's interesting if it was attributed to Liberace. I like that.
That is. So, there you go. You learn a little something every day.
That's right. So, overall, I would say go see this movie.
Yeah, I guess. Go ahead.
Go in with low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
That is true.
I like the car stuff. Like that scene that we mentioned at the beginning with Affleck driving around the streets of Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
The bat chase of the kryptonite was a really cool action scene. Mm-hmm. And the scene of Batman killing all of those goons before he saves Martha Kent was a really cool action scene.
And
I liked those action scenes a lot, plus the big giant fight at the end.
So
there's at least four good extended action sequences in this movie.
And I really like the way they did Batman's origin. Really quick, out of the way.
Especially, and again, this is not news to anyone, especially since his parents are Negan and Maggie, that adds a whole new wrinkle to the Bat universe.
That is true, and I do like the Pearl thing. Mm. I thought that was cool, a different way to get the pearls to roll all around.
Well, wasn't that almost lifted directly from Dark Knight Returns?
Was that from Dark Knight Returns? Because I always thought he grabbed it and ripped them.
I think it's either he's grabbing them or ripping them or the gun's getting them, but it's like the same more or less.
Right.
I
don't know if it was actually the gun recoiling.
Right.
That I like. That's what I actually liked. But either way, it was well done. And we didn't have to sit there and be like, my parents were killed and I've avenged them because the superstitious and cowardly lots and blah, blah, blah.
When I had heard that there was going to be the Batman origin in the movie, I'm like, Jesus Christ, do we have to do this again? But they did it super quick. Yeah. It was like less than like 5 minutes.
Yes, you have to do it. I don't care what anybody says. Anytime you start over, you have to do it.
I guess.
We've had this discussion many times on the show. When there was somebody working in the comic shop for years, didn't know that Superman got his powers from the yellow sun, I went, I will never argue the fact that everybody knows origins. I will never, that's my take on it anyway.
Touche. So is there anything else, any closing thoughts on Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice?
No, other than bring on Cyborg and Aquaman.
They're on the schedule, man. I think Wonder Woman's next and then Aquaman.
Mm-hmm. And there's no Flash in there. I didn't see it.
No.
Anyway.
So, thanks to everyone for listening to this. We're going to do our best, and by we, I mean Brian, in getting this out ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
And, thanks everyone for listening. SoonToBeNamedNetwork.com, SoonToBeNamedNetwork.tumblr.com. And, thanks for listening to After Dark. Bye.